Matt Maiocco, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Matt, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem at all. Yeah, it's like I think we've been down this road before. October 31st and just the quick turnaround. Seems like the 49ers and Cardinals always have these little spans of two games in 3 weeks, but everybody is trying to figure out new stuff that they didn't find out the first time to apply it into Sunday's game.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Normally, we'd just dive right in with the 49ers questions, but considering what transpired last night in Cleveland at the end of that game, we got to get your thoughts on this, Matt. You've been covering the NFL for a long time. You ever seen anything, a player lose his mind like that on the field?
No. I mean, I've seen varying degrees of it, but not to that extent where, you know, the helmet was in his hand for what seemed like a long time. And then you could kind of see the light bulb go on and go, you know what? I'll just hit him with it. It's going to be fascinating to see what comes out of this. Cause I mean, there's already talk of, you know, some sort of, was it criminal behavior? Mm-hmm. You know, that it wasn't a football play. You know, it goes beyond what's supposed to happen from snap to whistle. So, I'm sure everybody will appeal the suspensions. You know, everybody who's suspended will appeal it. Whether the arbiter keeps those suspensions intact. I mean, this is a story that will continue to be talked about and discussed and probably litigated for quite some time.
All right, Matt, let me ask you about this. The big story for at least, I think, the foundation of this game between the 49ers and the Cardinals is generally going to be what is the health of the 49ers, particularly on offense. How is the roster shaping up? Who looks to you to be definitely out? How big of a role are injuries going to play in this game?
Oh, I think injuries will play a very big role. I mean, I think George Kittle is definitely out. I would think that Matt Breida probably won't play either. Joe Staley is definitely out. And then Emmanuel Sanders is kind of iffy. I think he's going to play. He has basically some fractured rib cartilage from the game Monday night. And when I talked to him yesterday, he was still mighty sore, but he at least went through a walkthrough, which to me is a sign that, you know, if they didn't anticipate him playing, there's no reason for him to be out there and go through a walkthrough. He hasn't practiced yet, but, you know, the 49ers are going to have to figure out, you know, how that offense is going to look without George Kittle. And we saw it Monday night and it didn't look great at all. He is such an important guy. And I mean, you saw it in that Thursday night game in Glendale where, you know, the team was kind of sputtering.
Yeah.
And even though he was injured, he's the guy who makes the play, you know, kind of tossing Buda Baker around a little bit on that touchdown. And so he has this knack for not only coming up with a big play, but also providing a spark for his team, something that was severely lacking on the offensive side of the ball Monday night.
Speaking with Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area, KNBR, here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously, he wins a lot. We know that. I think 16-3 now as an NFL starter. Statistically, he hasn't been great. He looked phenomenal in the game here in Arizona 2 weeks ago. He didn't get a lot of help Monday night with a lot of drop passes. But overall, how would you assess the play so far of Jimmy Garoppolo this season?
I'd say somewhere between what he showed against Arizona and what he showed against Seattle. And I think that's kind of what you're going to get with a guy, you know, who's basically only made it through one full season just combined. You know, in 6 years in the NFL, he's basically started the equivalent of one full season. So probably him more than, you know, the established guys, you really look at him and view him through the lens of what did he do in the last game. And so, you know, for 10 days or so, it was, you know, future Pro Bowl quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. And then after Monday, it was, bust Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think he's doing a good job. I don't think he's been great. I certainly don't think he's been awful. But as you alluded to, I mean, he just got no help from his supporting cast. And some of his passes that were classified as drops, you know, were certainly not perfect throws.
Yeah.
But catchable, and some of them were perfect throws, and the pass protection wasn't great. So I think he's doing a good job. I think he's shown that if he needs to throw for 300 yards like he did against the Cardinals, he can do that. But it's a matter of the consistency too, because you know he only threw the one interception against Seattle, and that went through a receiver's hands, but he put the ball up several times in positions where the Seahawks had a better chance to catch it than the 49ers. So he's got to clean that up. He's got to be more consistent. But if you judge a guy on the bottom line, I mean, you alluded to the 49ers record or even the Patriots record when he was a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He generally, and by and large, does what's needed to win football games.
All right, Matt, let me ask you about the 49er defense, because when these two teams played in Glendale, the Cardinals, they did fairly well offensively, scored 25 points. After the game, Richard Sherman and others said their focus wasn't quite right, and you could get it on a short week, the game before the Seahawks game. Do you buy that? Do you buy that the Cardinals are going to be facing a different defense this time around just because of the focus they did or didn't show in Glendale?
Yeah, I don't know about the focus. I mean, I guess that makes sense. But that was probably the game this season where the 49ers defense looked the most vulnerable. So they fully go into this knowing what to expect, because all they have to do is turn on the film from October 30th first and realize that the Cardinals had success in certain areas, and that's what they're going to be seeing. I mean, the Cardinals did a really good job of getting the run game going early and then using screens and quick hitting passes to kind of take the air out of the 49ers pass rush. So the 49ers did not defend the screen game very well. They know they're going to see a lot more of that. I think they'll be better prepared for that. And then when they do that, now it's up to Cliff Kingsbury to come up with something off of those plays. And, you know, if the 49ers are cheating more toward the screen, then what does that open up for the Cardinals offense? So the Cardinals enter this game, I think, in a pretty good situation where, you know, they know what the 49ers are thinking they're going to see. They know how the 49ers are going to probably approach them to take away certain things. Now, you know, where do the vulnerabilities lie in the 49ers defense? So as I see it right now, the Cardinals are kind of one step ahead offensively ahead of the 49ers defense, but the 49ers defense, I think, is a more talented group, and they've played really good football through most of the season, that game in Glendale kind of being the exception.
Now, one of the things the Cardinals have had a lot of success at Levi's Stadium. One of the things that they've not had to deal with is a rocking stadium in Santa Clara. That has finally changed this year. Tell me about the vibe at 49ers games and how there finally is a home field advantage for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, the 49ers always felt they had a home field advantage at Candlestick, and that just didn't carry over to Levi Stadium. Now, obviously, a lot of that had to do with the team not being very good. I think also what you find is when generally, and I saw it in Dallas, when a team moves into a new stadium and the prices go through the roof, a lot of season ticket holders can make up some of that money that they've plunked down by selling their tickets. And typically the people who sell tickets, or I should say who buy tickets on the secondhand market, are people coming in for the games and generally people rooting for the other team. So the first time I heard that Levi Stadium, that the atmosphere in there was great, and what a venue it is for football, was actually during the national championship game. That was just in January when Alabama played Clemson. And I wasn't at the game, but talking to people who were there, they said that place was electric. Mm-hmm. And they thought, you know, if they can ever turn this thing around, this place can be a good atmosphere. And we certainly saw it Monday night. I mean, the place was pretty electric. I don't expect that on Sunday because it's a day game. You know, the fan base isn't as vocally, you know, hateful of the Cardinals like they are of the Seattle Seahawks. So I don't think the atmosphere will be anywhere near what it was Sunday, Monday, but it still should be a 49ers home field advantage just because of the enthusiasm now the fan base has for this year's team.
Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area and KNBR, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline, as we talk Cardinals, 49ers. Like I said on the way into this interview, Matt, you've been covering this team for a long time. You've seen a lot of really good football teams. You've seen Super Bowl teams. And I know there's a lot of football left to be played. From what you've witnessed, what you've felt from this team this year, does this seem like a Super Bowl capable team in your mind?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, I'm certainly not predicting them to get to the Super Bowl, because I think that there are probably at least four, maybe even five or six teams in the NFC at this point that I just would not be surprised if they get there. It's all about how you enter the playoffs, you know, how the injuries kind of stack up for all those teams. But no, I think that they do have enough options on offense when everybody's healthy, that they can run the ball, they can convert third downs, and defensively, it's definitely a Super Bowl, you know, a team worthy of being in that Super Bowl conversation. So, you know, are they a perfect team? No, of course not. You know, are they a really good team? I do believe that, yes. But I really think when you look at the NFC, I think the AFC is pretty clear cut with one team above everybody else, and then another couple teams in the picture, maybe just one other team in the picture. But I think it's going to be a battle in the NFC to simply get into the playoffs. And then I don't think there will be an easy road for any team. Even the team with the number one seed, I would not be surprised if they lose in the division round. So I think it's wide open, and I think the 49ers are right there.
All right, finally, as a guy who once covered Colin Kaepernick, what do you make of what's going on this weekend outside Atlanta?
You throw that one at the end.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's you know, surprising to me that this is happening, because any team that, you know, wanted him, and we're talking about a player who hasn't practiced or played since the 2016 season, it's not like he just became a free agent and teams are lining up to talk to him and sign him. And we're talking about something that's going to happen in mid-November. And I mean, is he really an option for a team to sign for the stretch run? I don't get it, other than the potential that maybe some teams are interested in bringing him to, you know, their off-season program, but don't want to make a circus out of it by having him come to their facility, working him out, and now the world knows, you know, this particular team is interested in him, and they didn't sign him. So what does that say? So I guess if there are a couple teams out there that are legitimately interested, then the other teams that show up are kind of doing them a favor by being in that same voice. They're in that same mix. So
yeah.
I just see that. I mean, I just don't know what to make of it, because there's clearly a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we just aren't privy to.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what shakes out. Matt, thanks so much for the time and the insight. I always appreciate it.